prepare yourselves. This is WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
With a broken sound, you're the only one that can calm me down. My head spins in circles, so I'm dizzy now. All of this time I should have figured it out.
Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
It's starting to grow on me, actually. I was against it before, but...
Yeah, because somebody else came up with it.
Maybe we should just start calling everybody dickheads.
It's a term of endearment.
I don't like that. That seems the simple way out of this.
It's not clever.
Wheelie pals or something.
Oh, wheelers.
The wheelie pals?
Yeah. The wheelers.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
Via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
It's Monday night and the feeling's right, T-G-I-M.
And Drunkard STL on the Twitters is here.
New America.
You know, every show is talking about nothing but the election. So I mean, I was gonna suggest maybe like we could be the exception, but we can't really do that, can we?
No, it's your show, dude.
Yeah, you're running it.
Of course, Donald Trump is the president elect. That's all great news and all. But
it's a great news.
I mean, the guy's a cartoon character. He's a goofball. In a way, isn't it nice to see all the liberal douchebags knocked off their high horse?
Oh, the amount of people screaming and yelling and going ape shit over this is unfathomable.
And Travis, in a way, won't it be great in a year when this Muppet does a terrible job to see all these conservatives knocked off their high horse?
He's not going to do anything. He's going to appoint people to do everything for him.
But I'll tell you, guys,
it was predicted in a Simpsons episode, wasn't it?
The pendulum swings, and nobody likes anything because everything sucks.
Right.
And so, you know, you say, you know, everything sucks, and the Democrats are in control. So maybe it's time to shake things up, and we'll get a Republican in there. And then in 2 years, when all the Senate seats are up, they'll say, you know, guys, everything sucks. Maybe we should shake things up and get some Democrats in the Senate. And then in another 2 years, who knows? Who knows, guys? Unless there's a war going on, we'll probably have another Democrat in.
And then there is a war going on. Plenty of them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like a real war, Travis. Like one of the good ones.
Like where they reinstill the draft.
I mean, are we even really in a war? I mean, like, there's people warring, but I mean, this doesn't like a war.
We are in a constant war because we are the empire from the Star Wars franchise. Like, we just occupy other countries and say, bend to our will or we'll blow you up with drones.
I mean, so, we don't do that.
Has there been a time...
Of course we are.
Since, like, Desert Storm, where there isn't something going on somewhere?
Not really.
It just kind of seems like we're always...
There's always something. Somewhere.
Quote, unquote,
at war. And you go back way past Desert Storm. It's just always... It's the world. There's always somebody warring.
And then, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and...
Operation Iraqi Freedom?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like... And everybody's freaking out thinking that Donald Trump's going to round up all the gays and send them to conversion camps. And it's probably just going to be fine, guys.
He was just on – I watched 60 Minutes last night. I watched about 15 minutes of him before I couldn't take any more politics. And they asked him about, like, gay marriage and shit. And he's like, well, it's already a law. He's like,
yeah,
that's
I think his stance all along has been it's up to the states. Let the states do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And that's fine.
I'm a big fan of states' rights.
Here's my position on that. Guys, don't have parades and flaunt your... Don't waggle your dicks at people who don't like the gays. Just go do your gay thing somewhere and just leave everybody alone. And you guys who don't like the gays, don't fuck gay guys. And if
that's pretty simple.
Yeah. If you see a gay guy waggling his dick around and it bothers you, go somewhere else. Or don't look at them.
Fair enough.
Everybody just leave each other alone. It's not that hard.
It's really easy, actually.
But that's what it is everything sucks. And so, you know, it's real easy to say, thanks, Obama. Thanks, Obama became a thing. And now thanks, Trump can be a thing. I saw somebody post on Facebook earlier today, thanks, Trump.
I really do enjoy the thanks, Obama phrase. Like, I think when I really... solidified in my mind is when New Girl started to use it, like every episode, like a year and a half ago. I think they went on like a 6-episode streak where they said, thanks, Obama,
thanks
for everything.
Thanks, Obama. I saw a story earlier, Travis, about a DJ who went by the name Muppet Fucker. And he registered the domain name MuppetFucker.net to share his DJ mixes.
Did that get a lot of, like, hits?
Accidental
hits?
The wrong kind of hits, you mean?
Yeah, right. Like, where are all the Muppets fucking?
And the Jim Henson Company, they tracked him down. And they said, hey, Muppet Fucker, why don't you knock this shit off? And then he was like, well, should I be Puppet Fucker? And they're like, no, you can't be Puppet Fucker. Puppet Fucker isn't funny. So he just abandoned it. But because... They told him to knock this shit off, and they had to safeguard their brand from other would-be Muppet fuckers. They, every year, have to renew the domain name MuppetFucker.net.
Excellent.
So, like, every year that bill comes due, and they say, God damn it, we got to pay our $40 Muppet Fucker bill.
I think they'll be fine with it. They probably bought a bunch of other domain names, too, just in case.
Just to safeguard their brand, like TaylorSwift.horse.
That's probably like some unpaid intern's job exclusively, where they just have to jump online and renew domain names.
But, Travis, the other funny thing I saw is Amy Poehler wrote an extended long piece about how it's a bummer that Donald Trump's going to be the president.
Oh, TV's Leslie Knope?
But she did it as Leslie Knope. So, I mean, of course that reminds you, I imagine you know what it reminds me of, Travis. It reminds me of when Bart Simpson was making Scientology calls. Did you guys ever hear that audio?
Yeah,
when
a while ago.
Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, was making Scientology call. I pulled the clip.
Like pro Scientology calls?
She's a Scientologist.
Oh, so she was trying to recruit people by pretending to be Bart Simpson?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I'm going to play it. Yeah, it just reminded me of it because I thought it was funny that Leslie Knope doesn't think
that. What's happening, man? This is Bart Simpson. Just kidding. Don't hang up. This is Nancy Cartwright. And this is a very special phone call to you. I'm now auditing on new OT7 and have been asked to speak at the Flag World Tour event on January 31st in the Grand Ballroom at the Hollywood.
Don't have a cow, man. Check your thetans.
It's gonna be a blast, man. I will be there to share my many wins as solo knock auditor and to see the golden era film presentation of Flag, the mecca of technical perfection. I hope you can make it, man. Confirm for the Flag event. Please call us back at 888-841-7131.
So this is for people that were already Scientologists.
No, yeah. I think that they were recruiting new ones.
No, that sounds like a drive to get people that were already there to go
give
to
give more
it.
Money yeah. or something.
Well, I think that when once you take some kind of inquiry class, you're like on the list forever.
You got to disassociate with people who are not Scientologists, just like I'd like to disassociate from Homer Simpson.
Man.
What a fucking terrible thing.
Don't have a cow. But Travis, aren't you curious who everybody loves Raymond's dad voted for?
No. Well, he's dead.
And like Bob's Burgers, like where he falls on the political spectrum.
Curious what Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is thinking about the election. You wonder what's wrong with our country. It's fictional characters putting out memos on what they think about the election.
But that, I mean,
that's it.
Amy Poehler's character on Parks and Recreation was written for her. I mean, it was created by someone other than her, I would imagine. I don't know that for a fact, but I assume.
I'm sure she probably had a hand in that.
Can she speak on behalf of her character?
I guess if there's only one person that can.
Well, the show's over, so it doesn't really matter.
So now she can just, like, go out and do that character now?
I feel like Nick Offerman offers what his character would do.
I think he just is that character.
He may be.
I mean, he's just like a grumpy guy who makes wood stuff.
Yeah, but he's pretty liberal, and his character, I think, was a staunch conservative.
Oh, well, joke's on me.
It really is.
What else is going on, guys? We do have Adam Scorgi coming up in a little bit. He's the producer of the new documentary film, Ice Guardians.
I actually watched it.
Did you hear that, Travis?
Napier watched something?
Watched the movie.
Write it down!
Pretty exciting, yeah. We're going to be talking to him in a little bit about his documentary. We had the chance to watch it. We enjoyed it a great deal. If you like the hockey, you'll like this movie. It's a good watch.
What if you're indifferent to hockey?
Still a good watch.
It's still a good watch.
All right.
Travis, do you like watching, like, people, like, beat each other up?
It's one of my favorite things.
Like, yeah.
I was a big fan of Bum Fights 1, 2, and 3.
This is kind of like Bum Fights, only, like, they're getting paid for it, but the bums, they got paid for it, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a little something.
Yeah, but these guys are doing it in colorful jerseys.
Ooh.
But as hockey fans, I don't, you know, my thinking on fights is, might have been a little bit swayed, because I always thought fighting was kind of silly.
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I just want to watch the guys, they skate and shoot and score, but that's you watch the documentary and they kind of justify it a little bit.
You can't let shitheads run rampant around
right,
your
right. It's a policing unit out there.
Yeah, but that's like saying you don't like the crashes in NASCAR.
Well, no. And admittedly, Travis, I believe that it's very similar in that people are a great deal of people are going there hoping that there's a big crash. Similar to, I think, a bunch of people go to hockey games to see the fights.
Yeah, but you don't want anybody injured. You don't want somebody, you know, dead.
Right. But the death-defying stunts is the only release we still have. Guys, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're going to talk to Adam Scorgi about all of these things. I want to talk to you guys about this new business that opened up by me called $3 Car Wash. That is the name of the business. It's $3 Car Wash. They have a big sign, $3 Car Wash.
It's in the area?
Yeah,
is it a new fast food joint?
No, Travis, it's a car wash.
Oh, what are the car washes? What do they cost?
$3 Car Wash? Well, that's the thing. You go to $3 Car Wash. They get you in the door with their $3 Car Wash. You pull up to the line, and as soon as you pull into that parking lot, as soon as they got you, all they try to do is convince you how shitty the $3 car wash is and that you need a better car wash. So they're like, guys, look, I know our sign says $3 car wash.
So you have to talk to a person?
No, no, they have signs up that they say the $3 car wash is a basic shitty car wash. Guys, you're not going to like it at all. This $3 car wash sucks. I know that's what you came here for, but guys, think about it.
So they got like a $5 and a $7
car wash. The $7 car wash is so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, like you get the rainbow foam and you get like
it's like that everywhere, buddy.
The underwear wash and the super shine rinse and you get all these added things, but they advertise the $3 car wash.
Because they have one.
They do have a $3 car wash. That's the name of the business.
Why wouldn't you have
$3 car wash? Why don't they just call it Good Car Wash Place?
good to excellent car washes. It's all your choice.
I mean, when you go to McDonald's, they have a McDonald's.
But you don't actually have to talk to anybody, right?
At no point does anybody tell you, guys, our cheeseburger fucking sucks.
I mean, they kind of do.
They don't. But our quarter pounder, that's what you want to get, guys. That's the good one.
That's kind of what they do.
This cheeseburger, it's awful. You don't want this fucking cheeseburger.
They don't put it in the best light. Not like that double quarter pounder. You look at that thing.
Well, a McDouble you can get for a dollar. I mean, how much is a single cheeseburger?
Oh, no, that's on the Mc. That's a McPick.
That's a bad example anyway, because they don't have a big sign up front that says 69 cents. It's not called 69 cent cheeseburger. It's called McDonald's.
Which might as well be called 69.
There was a tavern in an adjoining town about probably less than a decade ago, called the Dollar Bar. Right, so all they served was like beer glasses, just like 10-ounce beer glasses of like tap beer, probably like Bush Light and shit. And they also just served rail drinks. So it was like bottom of the barrel garbage mixers. So it was cheap as fuck. Got a lot of business. It was usually the people who were going out, like, partying. They'd stop at the Dollar Bar, get hammered, and then go to the regular price bar. But inflation came, and,
$1.25 bar.
Well, they raised their prices to $1.50.
Oh my God.
But they did not change the name of the establishment to the $1.50 bar. So if you showed up thinking everything was going to be like the Dollar Tree, everything's a dollar in this bitch, you were sorely mistaken, and I hope you brought your change jar.
And they said, guys, sorry, I know the sign says dollar bar, but they have to have at least one thing on the menu that's a dollar, though, right?
Everything was raised to a dollar. Every single thing. Like, they just essentially scratched out the dollar from everything on the inside and put $1.50, but it remained the dollar bar. It didn't last much beyond that.
On principle,
change.
I would not go to the $1.50 bar.
And my question, I beg to ask the question, what do you tip? You know, usually if you go to a regular tavern and you get a beer, you toss down a buck every time?
Yeah.
You don't do that at a dollar bar, right?
No, you got to tip something. What are you going to give them, a quarter? You got to give them 15 cents?
Or do you wait every 2 to 3 drinks to drop a dollar? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. Why wouldn't you just buy all three of your drinks at one time?
Here, listen. You know I'm going to tip you. I want 4 drinks right now. I'll give you a 5. Keep the change.
Right. Just say, okay, I'm going to give you a 5 now. I want 4 drinks spread out over like the next 4 times I ask.
But you have to remember that I have some on my tab here.
Right. Yeah. Just make me a tab at the end of the night. I'll give you a 5.
What's wrong with giving the guy a dollar when you would go to a fancier bar, pay more, and still give the guy a dollar?
Well, I can't imagine the service or the environment in the dollar bar is going to be good.
Why are you so upset that it's called the $3 car wash?
They have a $3 car wash. But my thing is, if you call yourself the $3 car wash, you should pride yourself on that $3 car wash.
That should be your namesake. That should be your specialty, is the $3, not the upsell, but right. The actual $3.
How many people are going to turn into the building when it's called the $7 car wash?
Not as many. But
how about
at least
you just
you're
call
being
it a
honest.
Fucking car wash.
Yeah,
that
it's
helps.
It's a little deceptive.
I don't think it's deceptive because they have a $3 car wash.
Yeah, but they tell you how much the $3 car wash sucks. And let me tell you something, Drunk. I got the $3 car wash.
Uh-huh.
The $3 car wash was fine.
I'm sure it was.
It was an okay car wash.
And that's all it is. It's a $3 car wash.
But when I drive through the thing drunk.
It probably just gives you a rinse to get all your salt.
There's
off
a
your
whole
vehicle.
Bunch of mechanisms that stop as if to say, fuck you, dude. You just got the $3 car wash. You're not going to get this cool tonguey thing. You're not going to get the cool spongy spinny guy. You're not going to get the wax. Fuck you. You only spent $3 on this car wash.
We were prepared to do. You're
but the $3
not car
that. Wash is fine, huh?
It was fine.
I might roll by it tomorrow. I'm going to...
It's on the rock.
Are
it's
you
on the
saying
rock.
It's the equivalent of grabbing like a garden hose and just like drenching your car and then driving away?
Do what?
Grabbing a garden hose, like drenching your car in the garden hose, and then just driving away.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they at least use soap, right?
No, it's like a whole mechanical thing. You neutral, no brake. You go through the deal.
And I understand, but they put soap on your car, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's soap.
And they got the air dry?
Yeah.
Well, you get the same amount of time for the air dryer for the $3. I'd get the $3 every time.
Travis, the $3 car wash was fine. That's not my point. My point is I feel like they don't want you to get the $3 car wash.
Of course not.
Why don't they take pride in their $3 car wash?
You just said the $3 car wash was fine.
I wish that their sign would say. Our $3 car wash is fine.
Yeah, but the sign is trying to upsell. You know, you want fries with that?
I wish.
Yeah, I just want their sign to say, this $3 car wash is just fine. It's going to wash your car. It's not going to like deep clean it. If you drove through the mud like in one of those truck commercials or something, you probably want a better car wash. But just for like a regular old clean, this $3 car wash is fine. I know that's too wordy for the sign, Travis.
Well, and then you turn the sign has to spin, so on the back side it says, we also offer better car washes.
Drunk, what are your thoughts on hockey fights?
I'd enjoy a hockey fight.
You enjoy a hockey fight? But, I mean, that's not like what you tune in to watch.
No.
But if one happens...
But I'll say this. Saturday night was not what I tuned in to watch either. That was pathetic.
What happened?
So, on Saturday Night Live?
No, the Blues lost 8-4.
Saturday Night Live. They opened their show this week with Hillary Clinton singing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Nice.
Because you know, Travis, the world's going to explode.
And they just wanted to get that in there quick.
People are acting like this guy is a fucking horseman of the apocalypse.
They should have made the song. Remember a year ago when we had Donald Trump as the host? And when we did a bit about how great America would be if he was the president.
Whoops.
I bet you don't remember that. Now do ya? But since then we've talked lots of shit. And now he's going to be the president. And we're really bummed out because we know some gays.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bravo.
We peddled all our liberal shit. And it turns out you all didn't buy it. Hallelujah.
That was a pretty short verse there.
Yeah, there's got to be a couple more.
I'm doing this on the fly, guys.
Right. Let him brainstorm after the episode.
Doing it live.
We'll get there.
I mean, that's all great, guys.
It really is. Really great.
It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
That was the equivalent of the $3 car wash.
I would say that if you're passionate, and if you're out there in the world and you're fighting the power and you're sticking it to the man.
Get a job, you fucking hippie.
I would say you probably should have had that passion 2 weeks ago.
Should have got your friends to get off their asses and vote.
Yeah.
You know,
you have those big passionate things where you go out and you encourage people to vote and you say, guys, we're afraid for our lives. That's what they're all saying. They're afraid for their lives.
You know what I did, Mike? I said I didn't give a shit. I didn't vote. didn't get off my ass.
You know, that really shocks me, Napier.
Hmm. Why? Why does it shock you?
Also shocks.
Travis, are you shocked that Napier didn't get out there and rock the vote?
Did you believe Napier didn't take any action?
I said I didn't give a shit, and I meant it. And you got all these people that didn't go out and vote, and now they give a shit. You didn't give a shit that day when you were supposed to give a shit. Why do you give a shit now?
You're not allowed to. Stop.
No. You can't do that. You either give a shit when it's time to give a shit.
No.
Or you don't give a shit.
You missed your shot, guys. Guys, we're going to go on break. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes. Adam Scorgi, the producer of Ice Guardians.
Hallelujah. Country girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
The Lotus cast had two movies finish their run this week, with Doctor Strange pulling in 110 points and Trolls adding another 53. That certainly ensures that they aren't going anywhere, as now they have overtaken Passersby. It will be enough to take the belt. WFOD and Chris Brake Show have their big ticket releases dropping in the next few weeks. This baby is gonna come down to the wire.
So you're the new me, eh? I don't know about that. I don't think so. Everyone else seems to. It's good. Good for you, kid.
Thank you.
So what are you doing wandering around St. John's at 3 o'clock in the morning? Aren't you guys playing us tonight?
Yeah, but not me. I got suspended the game.
Too bad. I ain't much for waiting around. You're a tough little bastard out there. You can fucking bang.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna impart some of the wisdom of my years on you.
And I could really use some of that.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't know, no.
Kid, you got this thing. The stuff, the shit, the fucking grit. You got it, like me. But like me, that's all you fucking got. And like me, you're no good to anyone doing anything else. All I'm saying is don't go trying to be a hockey player. You get your fucking heart ripped out.
But I am a hockey player, sir.
You're a fucking goon.
That plays hockey. Like you.
I don't play much hockey.
You're a hockey player, sir.
They struck and they fought off for that extra dime. So it's hard to say how we're here today after rank and file trials. Faceless names about bosses and high towers look down and smile. They say don't be a fool, just focus on school. After 4 years you'll see that your value in prospects and life will be filled with prosperity. Your tuition, your rent, crushing student loan debt cost, but you'll be just fine as the thousands of dollars compound to the end of your we'll be right back.
Guys, we're back. Hi. How's everyone?
Yes!
I hope everyone is good. Guys, we're going to be joined here in just a second. Our guest tonight is the man behind the acclaimed documentary Ice Guardians in AMC theaters in Detroit, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh starting November 25th. For more information, you go to iceguardians.com to find show times, tickets, and all that. Adam Scorgi is going to be here. He actually called, and we had just gone on break, and I asked if he wanted to call back in a couple of minutes.
That's
my fault. My B, guys.
He'll call back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, I mean, you know, Napier watched the movie, though. That's pretty exciting.
What was your favorite part?
What was your favorite part, Napier?
Oh, God, the ending was the best.
The ending was the best?
Yeah. I don't know if I should give it away or not.
Probably
no,
not.
No. People don't love it when you give away the ending.
Spoilers there, Napier. Spoilers. Adam.
Hey.
Adam, a couple of us watched the movie today. We enjoyed it a great deal.
Awesome. Thanks for checking it out and having me on today.
The movie is Ice Guardians. Is there like a release date for that to be on demand? That's going to be on demand or something eventually, right? I told people it's in some AMC theaters around the country in late November.
Yeah, currently doing some of the AMCs right now. It's kind of sporadic because for sports docs and indie films, it's hard to get into the AMCs. So you kind of are squeezed in whenever there's room in between the blockbusters.
Yeah, they don't have a new Marvel movie coming out, so they have a free theater to give you a week or so.
Doctor Strange just came out, which is why we're getting you have this theater here and it's releasing on Friday and we're telling you on Tuesday. can't complain because you're getting into AMC, but that's just so we're kind of doing right now where we did New York, we did DC, did Colorado, and now it just opened up, and I think it's opening up in Boston next week and Philly the week after that, but then we've also done film festivals and other event theatrical.
I've seen a lot of good reception for this on the social medias and stuff. It looks like you got yourself a little bit of a hit there with the fans.
Yeah, it seems it's one of the nice ones. You know, this will be my fifth feature doc I've been involved with, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to have stuff that audiences really like, but then it's funny, you'll have the critics rip it, and then this one seems to be the first one where we're winning over both audiences and critics, so it's nice for a change.
It's rare air to get both.
Pardon?
It's rare air to get both, yeah. So
very rare.
In the documentary, there was one guy, I think Kevin Westgarth, he referred to them as entertainers, which I thought was kind of weird, because you don't usually think of sports people as entertainers, but I mean, I guess they kind of are, in a way. And we're in St. Louis. So you guys have a lot of St. Louis blues stuff in there. And Kelly Chase and Tony Twist, they're two of the more popular players that I can remember ever. And they probably didn't have 20 career goals between the two of them.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, no, it was funny because we just did the premiere there in St. Louis with them. We had 60 alumni there, including most of the current team. I think just about everybody was there except Tarashenko, like Ryan Reeves and Steen, and almost all of them were there. So, yeah, there's some about the tough guys, and we touch on that a bit with the human behavior specialist, Howard Bloom, in the film, that, you know, they resonate with their local communities, you know, quite often. It's not just in St. Louis, but you go to Edmonton and, you know, Minnesota where Bugard played, and audiences seem to get attracted to that character role in every market. And St. Louis, I didn't realize just how much St. Louis footage we had in the film until we screened it in St. Louis, and people were cheering in parts that they don't normally cheer. And I was like, what are they cheering? Oh, I'm like, oh yeah, we're in St. Louis.
And yeah, I think that anybody, any hometown fan would probably watch it. And then every time they see their team, they'd say, oh, hey. Maybe I just noticed more St. Louis stuff because I'm from St. Louis. But is fighting fan service because they kind of think that the fans are expecting it and they are, you know, as he put it, entertainers. I know there's a certain element of momentum and intimidation in it, but in a way, is it kind of appealing to the fans?
There's no question to say that there isn't. And I mean, that's, kind of what Wes Garth is getting at, is that, you know, that's what pro sports are. They're the closest thing, and kind of what Howard Bloom, the human behavior specialist, gets at, is that we find the kind of organized, civilized violence that we're willing to accept.
Right.
You know, and that is pro sports, right? Like in football, we love to see people bash against each other. And, you know, the fastest growing sport on the planet right now is mixed martial arts.
Right.
Right. UFC, where you have guys going in, and that's about as close to the death as you can go.
I was thinking NASCAR. A great deal of people go to NASCAR just to see the crashes. I mean, there's a lot of us want to see, a good race. But then there's people out there that just want to go hoping that the cars crash into each other.
I think Jeff Merrick in the film, the sports broadcaster, like alludes to like the emotions of a fight perfectly in there when he says, listen, he's like, there's no denying that in our human DNA, you get an emotional reaction when you're about to see a fight. It may turn into disgust. That's perfectly fine. It may turn into adoration, but there's something about our human DNA that we can't explain that when we see a fight, it does trigger emotion. And I've been at those games, you know, either live or knowing some of the guys doing it. And, you know, you feel that energy, and we try to capture it. And, you know, we've got some great footage of it, but it's not quite the same as when you're there.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, especially, being in St. Louis, when there was something that happened, you know, and it was a retaliation where the one team stuck up because something, you know, was considered unfair to one team to another. The passion in the building, it becomes like a playoff game. Like Brett Hall says in the film, he says, look, there's two times when people stand and cheer in a hockey game. It's either when there's a goal scored or when there's a fight. And if it's a passionate fight, everybody is standing.
Right, right, right.
And I've been at those games and seen it. So there's, you know, as the film alludes to, there's so much more. Like, there's no denying that there's an entertainment value. Absolutely. And some fights, you know, again, as I'm quoting Jeff Merrick in the film, he says, you know, there's some fights and they happen and they're entertaining, but nothing emotionally changes in the game. Like you can have a power play and nobody scores.
Is it because, right? Like, deep down, we're all bloodthirsty maniacs?
I don't. It just goes more to that, like, tribalism that, again, I keep referring to people in the film, but Howard Bloom really talks about it. It's an inner, you know, tribal thing that we have that we haven't evolved past that yet. Might be time, and you're seeing maybe, you know, dozens more years down the road that may come, because you're seeing all sports are, other than MMA, are kind of stepping back from the violence. Football, you know, the hits that used to be allowed 10 years ago are not allowed now. In hockey, you're seeing the fighting go way down.
That was another point. That was another point you made in the movie, is that people are much more willing to crash into each other at great speeds because the equipment has gotten so good. And Brett Hall,
well,
I think
equipment, the speed. And the one thing that people forget is, because you'll hear people saying, oh, well, they should, you know, the league can deal with that and they can fine guys. But how do you fine a guy when it's a clean open ice hit?
Right, right.
You can cuss him.
Yeah, right? I think, like, Brett Hall even said it. He said, you know, we didn't crash into each other like that, you know, when me and Shanahan were out there, because it would hurt.
And look, you know, Brett Hall, Gretzky, those are all guys, they never had concussion issues, right? And they were playing at a time when there's still guys playing with no helmets.
Right. And now, as Crosby, fighting has kind of been phased out of the game, it seems like guys like Crosby and stuff are being targeted and missing, like, years of play because of concussions
and stuff like that. And I love seeing Crosby play, and he just had another concussion this year where, you know, I'm worried he's one concussion away. You know, he'll be on his seventh. Like, some of the enforcers we interview that have 300 fights have not had that many. Like, Brian McGrath says in the film, he's had four or five, and he's had over 300 pro fights.
Right.
Right. Now, Brett McGrath, I will admit, McGrath is a mutant, though. He is not an average human. He's got a giant head. He is a warrior. He is, like, if he was living in barbarian days, he would be your lead warrior. Like, he's not normal.
But kind of,
as you kind of allude in the film.
In a way, you said that, I think the film says that there's been 40 players that careers have been cut short due to, like, concussions and things like that. And that actually
seems
kind of low. I mean, there's no way that you can get it to zero. I mean,
that's just who that doctor specifically is treated.
Oh,
Dr. Charles Pater, his clinic and himself, he's treated 40 players himself from the NHL. He's treated NFL, rugby, he treats all sports, but from the NHL specifically, he's handled 40, and the minority of those that he's dealt with are enforcers. The majority are just regular players. And we kind of flash their names there, and it's got a lot of great names to recognize, like Savard and Pronger, and all these guys had to retire because of concussion symptoms, and they weren't enforcers. And as he says in the film, I think he says it perfectly, where he says, you know, we can't say that enforcers are any more prone, but certainly they are. Like, there's no one's arguing that punches to the head are not healthy. That's obvious.
Right. Right.
They're not good for you. But contact sports are not good for you. I mean, there's dozens of stories, and I have friends that played, you know, that took a weird hit and their career was over from their first concussion, you know, and they were not fighters. They're playing college hockey, which doesn't allow fighting, and
two guys
kind of went into each other and hit funny, and boom, they've never recovered. They've never been the same.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just a risk you take.
It's a risk you take when you play pro sports. So kind of what the film talks about, and what a lot of the players, when we've done these screenings with them afterwards, have said, look, you got to be really careful what you wish for, right? Because the one thing is, if you change the rules completely and you now say that fighting is it's completely out of the game, it's never coming back. Right. And as we're only seeing now, when we opened up the blue line and we got rid of the two line pass in the NHL, those collisions are just starting to have their cumulative effect that we're able to see the statistics now, almost 10 years after that rule was changed, right? Or 12 years, because it changed in 2005. You know, these, like the film says, that these, what used to be body checks have now become bowling ball collisions, right? That are killing guys,
right?
Like ending their careers with one big hit.
And
so,
there's no immediate consequence to that.
No, and it's not in the film, but I had another player put it like this. It was such a good way to do it when he said, he's like, think of it like this. An enforcer on the bench is like when an average person drives by a cop car. What do we all do? We make sure we have our seatbelt on. We make sure we're going the speed limit. We put two, we 10 and two, because we don't want to get pulled over or put the checks and balances in place for things we shouldn't or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Not that we were doing anything malicious. We were just driving, but we see that cop on the side of the road. We're like, oh, 10 and 2, seatbelt, this, off my cell phone, right? And they said that's the same thing that players felt when they had an enforcer that could play regularly in the game. That it was like, you know what? I better just play the game clean and solid as I can, because if I don't, that guy, I could wake up the bear.
Yeah, you see,
and it could come my way.
You see Kelly Chase sitting over there, and he ain't got nothing to do, and he's just waiting for somebody to fuck up.
I do wish that they would have played up the Guardian angle a little bit better. They had some clips of the Philadelphia Flyers on there.
The
Broad Street Bullies.
The Broad Street Bullies.
And there was a time back then when they had the Russian Red Army do a tour of different NHL teams. And some of those games were pretty one-sided for the Red Army. Until they played the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Flyers didn't put up with that, and they made the Red Army leave. They quit.
Yeah.
Just said tour over?
Yeah. That's a pretty famous. Well, that's something to, here in Canada, they've done, like, the stories on that, like the Russian Summit Series and the Red Army, they've done so many docs on that, from shorts to longs, and how, like, very famous here, and how Bobby Clark still talks about, who I can't remember the star Russian player they had, and Bobby Clark just two-handed sticked him and broke his ankle, like just took him out of the series. And they've interviewed Bobby Clark today, and he's like, it was such a horrible thing to do. But if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it exactly the same. he's like, I would do it all over again.
You just don't see much fighting anymore. It seems like it is kind of on the way out.
No, well, the bench clearing brawls have gotten to where, like, there's just so much suspensions and fines that it doesn't really happen. But something you are seeing in the game that didn't used to happen is now you're seeing when that big open ice hit happens, and it's not a penalty, it's a clean hit, but it's on your superstar.
Yeah.
You'll see the pack kind of go after him. There's all the shoving and pushing, and because they want to do something, but they can't.
Yeah.
Right. And they're worried about, you know, taking a penalty and penalizing their player. And they constantly, there's all these tweaks and rule changes that are making it harder and harder to fight. It was even something that we discovered in the film where, you know, people would say, well, I don't like the staged fighting. And, you know, like Wendell Clark, and we kind of talk in the film, like Riley Cote speaks to, and he's like, Well, some of us had just signed 2 or 3 year contracts, right, in that role, and they changed the rule the next year.
Yeah, so what else are they going to do?
We had to find a way to survive, right? Yeah. So then that's when we agreed to be like, hey, you know, we both agreed that what you did was cheap, or someone was playing on the edge, and it was like, okay, well, we'll agree to go settle it ourselves. And, you know, I had, even myself, I admit, as a fan, I would love to see two heavyweights fight, but I was like, other than entertainment, what's the point of that? And Parker brought it up to me. Again, we can't fit all these things in the film, but I'd never thought about this till interviewing Parker. And he said, well, you know how that affects the team? Is I had a player on my team. I was playing in Colorado with Ray Bourque and that great team and Sakic. And I had a guy running around like a shithead on my team. And Brashear came over to me and said, hey, get number whatever in line or you and me are going to throw down. And Parker went and regulated his own bench and said, hey, dipshit,
yeah,
stop
knock that
playing
shit
like
off.
That because I don't feel like fighting the big monster tonight. And the guy was like, whoa, Parks, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get, you know, in the game and just trying to be effective. And Parks like, I get it, but do that, you know, within the boundaries. Don't lift your elbows. Don't get your stick too high. Stay within reason.
I was a goalie for a long period of time. Napier was a goalie. We're goalies.
Not really fighters.
We were always protected.
No, you were always protected. I always had the littlest people on our team as the people who were supposed to clear my net. They didn't clear my net. They shoved crap into me.
I always kind of turned my nose up at the fighting, and I thought that it was unnecessary. But actually, when I watched this movie, I was kind of like, you know, that makes sense. And like when you go to a hockey game now that doesn't have any fighting in it, it's kind of like going to a Gallagher concert that doesn't have any watermelons getting smashed. You know,
yeah, well,
it's kind of like, I mean, he'll probably still do jokes. It'll probably still be a decent comedy show. But I mean, you know, you still showed up with a poncho hoping to get some fruit smashed on you.
You know, it's interesting. I put it, you know, and I enjoy the game for all aspects. But for me, I always thought, you know, the most impressive scoring was when it was amongst mayhem. Like when you say, wow, that guy did such an amazing dangle, you know, and he deked through all these guys, is because it's like, oh my God, he almost got his head taken off there. And boom, he dekes there. And oh my God, he gets by the big defenseman and puts it up. If you get rid of, you know, all the body checks and the bite, which it, you know, that's what happens when you start making rule change and you start doing this and this and this and this to try to mitigate everything. Then eventually becomes where, I mean, you're seeing it now with body checks and stuff where one check looks dirty and then the same, another guy that's a more marquee player does the same check and he gets nothing.
Right.
Right. Because
it's going to the zoo instead of going and seeing Siegfried and Roy. You're still going to see a tiger. It's still going to be awesome, but.
Yep.
There's not going to be mayhem.
I kind of hearken it to like Harlem Globetrotters.
Right.
Like, it's great. Like, but if it's always, if you're not seeing that grind and that passion, and I mean, ultimately, we hope that's something that came across with the film, is that regardless of the way the game evolves, it just happens with sports. And if they find that fighting and enforcers are no longer needed, that's fine. That's where the sport's going. But the part I hope that they don't lose with the enforcers, which I hope you guys got from the film and most people seem to be getting, and we try to portray, is that these guys brought so much more to their team than just fighting and intimidation.
Right.
You know, the passion that these guys were willing to do whatever it takes to make that team and to, you know, to stick up for their teammates and do whatever they can to make their NHL dreams come true. You know, that element that was brought that is, you know, often missed in the locker room, that if they get rid of the role and they get rid of these guys, that element that these guys brought, that part isn't lost.
It's the working man. It's the man that you can most identify with. Like that's why that John Scott at the All-Star game was such a cool story.
Well, and everyone loved it. Yeah, because it's a, you know, we all know that, you know, you can train just as hard as someone like Sidney Crosby, but you just might never have the athletic build or the strength to get there, no matter how much powerlifting and training and, you know, plyometrics and explosiveness and power skating you work on. You just might never get there. You just won't have. But it's nice to see those guys that put in all that work, that they can still find a spot on a team. And that's, you know, another interesting thing with a lot of these enforcers, like Scott Parker, a good buddy of mine, said, you know, when he was brought into Colorado, they had such an all-star team with, you know, Sakic and Hajduk and Svatos, that he's like, look, they didn't need another goal scorer. I knew I wasn't making it with the stars they had. So he's like, so I knew they wanted to see toughness and physicality. So He's like, no one had to tell me to do it. I knew that my only chance of making this team was if I embraced that.
Right.
A lot of the grinding stuff that the Blues used to do, this season I don't see it because there's no Backes, there's no Ott, there's no grind.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing more blowout games this year across the league than what I'm used to seeing this early on. Like a 10-0 shutout for the Canadiens and Blue Jackets.
There was and Canadiens were the best team in the league. And they got blown out like that.
And there was no passion. Like, you get down a few goals, there's nobody there to rally your team anymore to, like, get them into the mood of maybe you can actually win this game if you grind it out a little bit.
Man, you agreed. I see that, too, in those games. I confess to being an Oilers fan the last 10 years, so it's been painful up until this year. It's starting to come back. You know, and even this year, now that they're having a bit of success, everyone's contributing and saying, oh, McDavid. There's no doubt.
You got all those young, fresh-faced guys. You need to get a big fella in there to protect them.
And exactly what they did, what everybody's missing, and actually McDavid hasn't scored in, like, last five games. It's been Cassian, Lucic, Maroon.
You guys got Milan Lucic.
Who's the tough guy in Anaheim. Maroon is leading the team in goals right now. The tough guy that they got from Anaheim 2 years ago is the goal. He's leading the team in goals right now. Not because he's the best player. I mean, he's got McDavid feeding him.
Yeah,
but
he's on the ice when the good guys are out
there.
But
you've added toughness to all these kids, right? Whereas Edmonton, last couple of years with Yakupov and Hall and Nuge, and they were just getting beat up because they're too small. Like they were getting out there and getting intimidated every game.
We do thank you guys for Yakupov. The amount of nail jokes I've been making is incredible. I love Nail. The guy really does look like he's being chased by bees. Like the entire time he's out there.
Butterflies in his pockets. He just can't sit still.
You can't say he doesn't try. I don't know what he's trying to do. He's trying to do it.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing with Nails. That he is putting in the effort. He just can't seem. And you know, and seeing as we're talking about ice, how this reflects back is there's a perfect example. First overall in the NHL draft, but he doesn't know how to adjust his game to work for a team. He's a great player, but he's not a great team player. And that's something that a lot of the enforcers, you know, some of them were great goal scorers when they were younger, but when they hit the world stage, they're like, man, I'm not even a top three scorer, so I have to change my game. As you even, like you see in the film, you have Schultz and Semenko talking about, like, I never fought before. I didn't know what I was doing. But I saw once, like, to make my team, they didn't need another one of me as a goal scorer, and I wasn't good enough. So I totally changed who I was to become a better team member.
Right. You just got to figure out where you fit into, like, the NES ice hockey. You remember that game, Napier, where you had the skinny guy, the medium guy, or the fat guy?
Yeah.
You need a good balance
of
those.
All of them.
You gotta have the fat guy because people can't knock him over. He's not very fast, but I'll be damned if that guy can't be moved.
So even though the game is evolving, it's interesting to see you can have that toughness and be a regular contributor, like a Milan Lucic, who had 10 NHL teams offering on him this year. Teams still want toughness.
Right.
They still want to be able, they just want a guy that can contribute, you know, more. And, you know, to be fair to some of the enforcers, again, as we kind of say in the film, David Singer from Hockey Fight says a lot of these guys weren't allowed to play. Again, I go back to my buddy Scott Parker, who in his last year in the WHL had 30 goals and 30 assists, and he had like 300 penalty minutes. Right. Now he says, he's like, I'm not delusional to think that I would get 60 goals in the NHL. But if you gave me more than 2 minutes a game, I might be able to become a good third line checker.
Sure.
Right? But when you're given 2-3 minutes a game and your coach is like, okay, go be effective. You sat for the first and second. He's like, what do you expect us to do? The only thing we could do to get noticed was to go to fight the other team's tough guy.
I don't know.
That was the only way with 2 minutes a game.
The problem with that is you got guys like, you know, Ott and Reeves, who last year in the playoffs, I mean, they got a good amount of ice time because they were the only ones that seemed to give a damn. But then they have everybody screaming at the coach, well, you lost the game because you put Steve Ott with, you know, 10 minutes a game or whatever he was getting. And people thought that was too much. He wasn't there for that. He was there to fight people.
Guy's a goer, though.
Yeah, it's a tough battle, and that's where they have to learn to be. Like, you know, Parker said for him, he's like, listen, I'm not saying go put me on your top forward line, but he's like, hey, if your power play's not clicking for three games, I'm 6'5" and you can't move me on skates, let me go in front of the net and blast pucks at me.
There's a guy in
right?
the chat
I'll
that
deflect
says
or bang one in.
They should let us use weapons in hockey.
Fist is a weapon.
I don't think you should use weapons. I think that, well, I mean, they got sticks and they got blades on their skates.
That was kind of a 40s thing. People getting hit in the face
going
with
crazy.
Sticks.
Barry, knock it off, Barry.
Well, they already kind of had, that's kind of where the heightened sense of defending yourself comes already in hockey, is because you're on a foreign surface. You can go 35 miles an hour and you're already wearing armor. Inside
right.
a closed boarding system, right? So
you're playing the fastest game in the world. You're crashing into each other. You don't need
with
a
razor blades on your feet,
yeah.
sticks in your hands, and now like we talked about in the film, you know, armor on your shoulders and elbows.
Right,
that and that helmet
that can end somebody's
really
career with.
They're modern gladiators out there for our entertainment.
Yeah,
they're out there being the entertainers that we expect them to be.
And when a 200-pound guy yeah. runs into your face, that helmet's there for a show. That's
right.
That might as well be paper.
This movie's in Detroit, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and AMC theaters. Looks like starting November 25th, you got a full schedule up at iceguardians.com.
And then, yeah, the VOD, the cable video on demand, will release in February.
In February, you don't have an exact date.
Yeah, no exact date because we're waiting on the cable subscribers to give us that date still. Right. So,
Adam, we really appreciate you calling in, buddy. We wish you much success. I enjoyed the movie. I recommend everybody go check it out.
Perfect. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for checking out and having me on the show. Appreciate it.
No problem. You take it easy. Travis, that Adam Scorgi, I like that guy.
Yeah, quite a fine gentleman he seemed like.
Pleasant little conversation we had with him. We learned a lot. I'll tell you what, you watch that documentary, you're a hockey fan or you're not a hockey fan. You watch that documentary, it's a good watch.
And you feel for the guys that have to do it, too. You don't really get that sense when they're out on the ice and they look like they're, you know, untouchable bronze statues. And then all of a sudden you hear about later on, yeah, I got my hand just ate up from throwing punches all the time.
Right. There was a guy that was going over, like, all the various plates in his face he had. And he's like, yeah, I got 25 stitches here, and I got a plate under my cheek here, and a plate in my jaw, and a blah, blah, blah. And he goes, he went on for like 2 or 3 minutes, and he goes, but you know, doctors are good.
Did most of them have Canadian accents? In
the oh, yeah, yeah, everybody did. Everybody did. Us Americans will never catch up. They're born on ice.
Right. I'll have to check out the movie, though.
You adopted the dark. I was born in it. You know, like that.
Right.
That was my Bane impression. Do you like that?
Really good. Awesome.
One bad.
Yeah.
So what else we got, guys? I mean, we taught people some stuff. I'd say, you know, enforcers are an important part of hockey. You should just shut up about the election because
the $3 car wash is fine.
The $3 car is not fine. no, actually, the $3 car wash is a decent enough car wash. If you're just getting a regular car wash.
It's fine.
For anybody who complains about having enforcers in hockey, play on a team with none against a team full of them.
I went
and
back
that
to look.
One-sided fist fight will teach you something.
Travis, I went back to look, when it was that Napier last wanted to talk about hockey, like when he quit the show.
Oh, yeah.
It was 8 months ago, and I finally got a hockey guest.
Nice.
And Napier contributed to the interview. He talked to the guy.
Yeah. Do you see how engaged he was?
I know. Napier
asking questions
was psyched to talk about hockey. I'm happy for him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I tried my best like a year plus ago. Maybe it was 2 years already to get that pony girl voice in here for him. You know, the My Little Pony one.
Tara Strong?
Yeah. Didn't work.
Oh, God. I would have loved that one.
I know.
Would you have talked to her?
Yeah. She has done like 100 different damn voices for
maybe
cartoons.
That should be the game now, Travis. We got to find the people that Napier will be interested in. And we need to make this the like Napier Make-A-Wish show.
Because we think he's going to die soon or what?
Yeah. We got to bring joy to poor Napier.
Oh, I'm probably 2 cheeseburgers away from a heart attack, so I'd make it quick.
Fry Lovers XL.
So what else do we got? Nothing?
Oh, were we supposed to weigh me? Or did that joke die?
I don't know. Did the joke die?
I don't know. We haven't done it, so I assume it died. Nobody really said anything.
We tire of things quickly, don't we?
We have attention deficit disorder real
bad. Do you
want
to start over again next week? Start fresh?
No, I actually feel lighter this week, so I was kind of happy.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm going to be happy next week. Might be cheeseburger week.
Might be. Well, that's what I'm hoping for. Should we weigh you based on... we'll weigh you after the show. Well, and then if you've lost weight next week, then we'll start again.
Well, my problem is I gain weight based on when I get paid, and then I spend all
Why
my...
is that? Because then you can afford better food?
No, I just buy all the food. Like, I just like, oh, I want this food. I'm going to buy it and eat it. I want that food.
And
I'm
then the next week, like, you don't have groceries, so you don't eat that much?
No, I just, I figure, I should not have bought, you know, 12 pounds of pork
like,
roast.
When I'm here by myself, like when Laura's not here, mm-hmm. I just stuff stuff in my fucking face. Like, it doesn't even fucking matter what it is. Like, I'll eat 3 hot dogs, and then, like, I'll eat all the cheese popcorn, and then I'll eat, like, 4 Reese's peanut butter
cups. And
then
I'll nap for an hour, and then go back and do the same
and
thing.
And then, like, I'll eat a granola bar, and I'll just fucking just walk from the fridge to the cabinet and just stuff stuff in my fucking face until she comes home.
Oh, yeah. If there's
That's like the only thing I can think to do.
Yeah, whenever there's food in my house, like Amanda goes out and buys me, you know, raw meat to make into cooked meat, I will cook all of the meat, consume it, and then, you know, later on, when I have no money, I go
Be
to
like,
the fridge.
Man, I wish I'd saved some of that meat.
Yeah, I just eat it all at once. I have no self-control, and I don't like leftovers. So in order to make sure my wife doesn't yell at me about, you know, not eating leftovers, I just eat all of it then.
Like just eat all of it, and then yeah, she can't say anything?
Like a hamster, I'm just shoving cheeseburgers
Yeah, it's like when I'm here by myself, it's like I can't watch any of the good TV shows, because then she'll be mad that I watched it without her. And, I mean, you can only masturbate so many times.
Yeah, you feel bad about starting a TV show, like you really want to watch that TV show, but maybe the wife ain't too keen on it, so...
Yeah, like, you know, you come home and you're like, man, I'd really like to watch the latest Westworld, but it's like, no, because when Laura gets off, she's going to want to watch the Westworld.
That's why the best thing to do is to start watching those programs without your significant other, so they never start to enjoy it.
No, I whenever we go home tonight, I'm going to get Amanda started on Westworld so we can watch it together.
You haven't watched the Westworld yet?
I watched part of it, and I didn't think it'd be that good, but then it was that good, and then I felt bad because I didn't share it.
Pretty good.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You don't know about Westworld?
Nope.
Drunk doesn't have HBO.
Drunk.
I have access to an HBO Go account.
Drunk. There's this television show called The Westworld, mm-hmm. right?
Loosely based on a movie from the 1970s starring Yul Brynner.
It has Ed Harris in it. It has Anthony Hopkins in it.
Jeez. Anthony Hopkins was
Talking
wonderful
about some
in that first
already,
episode.
For sure.
Produced by J.J. Abrams.
You know, like, there's like 4 or 5 Hemsworths. There's a Hemsworth, but it's not one of the 4 or 5 that you know about.
Okay.
It's like another Hemsworth. Jeez. Like, I don't know where they keep fucking coming from with these goddamn Hemsworths.
They're like Baldwins.
There's a chick that looks just like Ellen Page, but isn't Ellen Page.
Okay.
There's that black guy with the beard and the glasses that's in a lot of things, but you don't really know who he is. But he plays the same part in every show, you know, like where he's kind of like real monotone and he's got glasses.
He was in Boardwalk Empire. He played a real prick in that show, so it was a little different there.
And see, they got these robots, right? And they're robots in a robot world. And you can go there and, like, you can like fight the robots, or you can rape the robots. You can do all kinds of things to these robots, and they can't really hurt you. But, like, if you like rape, then you can go rape these robots and not get in trouble.
Because
and then
robots.
You can shoot them in the head when you're done.
Yeah, yeah. And you can kill them, and that's fine, too. Because they're just robots.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, after a while, the robots start, you know, catching on to all this bullshit. And they're like, wait, we're kind of bummed out about this whole rape thing. And we'd rather not get raped anymore.
But or but probably shot. I don't think they like getting shot, either. And they get shot a lot in that first episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like a fun place to go, really. It would be kind of neat.
And that
just to walk around. I mean, there's such neat atmosphere.
Dreamy as James Marsden's always somewhere in the picture.
Why was he never Superman, Travis?
That seems like
a disservice.
He was in a Superman movie playing like Lois Lane's new boyfriend or whatever, but yeah.
You look at that fucking guy and you say, why the fuck was that guy never Superman?
Yeah. He had to settle for being Cyclops.
Travis, that's what I'm going to urge our listeners to do this week. I want you to find James Marsden on Twitter. I want you to at him and say, why were you never Superman, James Marsden? And then hashtag Marsden should have been Superman. Hashtag Satan answers prayers.
Henry Cavill, not my Superman.
Yeah.
I don't know. That Batman vs. Superman was pretty bad. I think that'd
Fuck you.
That is a legitimate complaint.
That was a pretty bad movie. You know what would have made that movie a little bit better? Just a little bit. I mean, other than like writing and like just overall making a better movie than they made, I'd say if James Marsden was Superman.
I could have done without the opening. If they would have just left out that first 15 minutes, I would have been perfectly okay. Just don't give me the reason why Batman wants Superman dead. Batman just wants Superman dead. I'll accept that. But that opening was so horrible. Just tell me Batman wants to kill Superman just because.
So I may be biased because we had Adam Scorgi on the show, but I'm going to go so far as to say that Ice Guardians is my pick of the week.
Oh, easily.
You check out that Ice Guardians movie. If it's in a city by you or, you know, in February when it's on demand. And that's all we got. That's the end of the show, guys. Show's over. Show's over.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Is the show over?
Sure.
See ya.
Travis, do you have anything else? Is there any?
For all you comic book people, check out the variant cover for the new Star Wars comic book series, Dr. Aphra. It's a variant cover by a gal named Ashley Witter, who is very talented. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Good stuff. Check it out.
Is that your pick of the week?
That's Travis's pick of the week.
Oh, it's Hand Turkey November.
Oh, Hand Turkey Month.
You send us your hand turkeys, and we're going to post them on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
So I guess Drunk's pick of the week is the $3 car wash. Go up.
Drunk, the $3 car wash was fine.
I know it's fine. That's why I'm picking the $3 car wash.
But you got to see it for yourself and let me know what you think. It's jarring to go into the $3 car wash and have them immediately tell you that the reason that you came here is a lie.
I'll probably be pretty high and won't notice the other.
You know, there's certain things that people say you gotta see it for yourself, like the Grand Canyon and the Statue of Liberty.
And the $3 car wash.
But he say, you know, you just gotta see that $3 car wash for yourself. Like, you don't get the concept. I'm ready. Fucking car wash.
My pick of the week is for...
You got to do the clap.
My pick of the week is if you don't want to spend even $3, a dollar's worth of popcorn, maybe 50 cents worth of soda, find your local hockey rink when any of the, 15, 16-year-olds are out there and their parents are out there and they're all, you know, into the game. It doesn't matter where you are. There will be a drunk mom or a drunk dad and dumb crap will go down. Take yourself to an amateur hockey game, local high school, and just watch the shenanigans. It's practically free. You don't have to buy a movie ticket or nothing.
But how does that get my car washed?
It doesn't, but it makes you happy. You people watch. Well, that's my mama.
Hey, nanny, hey, nanny. I'm ready, my lord. Holy name, vilified, crucified in the human frame, a million candles burning for the love that never came. You want it darker? We kill the flame. the dealer, let me out of the game. If you are the healer, I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, mine must be the shame. You want it darker. He nay me, nay me. He nay me, nay me. I'm ready, my lord.
It's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 Central on Strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at WFODix.com. Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODShow or Facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to WFODShow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzonia, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to WFODix.com and find it under the Extras tab. In turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us. Right?
I really wanted to get my Gallagher analogy in there, but I don't think it went over.
we might be dating ourselves, like using
Gallagher. Making Gallagher references in 2016.
Right. That's a bit, I might have missed that one by about 25 years.
Oh, well.